Matthew 28, this evening and a couple of weeks from now, almost till camp meeting, almost, I think. I want to look at an important subject, not only subject, but I gave you an intro on Sunday, substituting brass for gold. Substituting brass for gold. Want to look at the order of worship, the order of the church. In Matthew's Gospel 28, I know by now your Bible must have opened there. I'll give you another one soon. So that when you open there, I say another one, alright? All of it, Jesus speaking here, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, that will teach all nations, means to make disciples. Matthew 2 in the Greek, which means to make people learn. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age, or the end of the world. So, it brings into our minds the importance of teaching. And when you use these two words together, and that's teaching and making disciples. The very key words. Alright, so the words already show that we ought to receive instruction in the sense of learning, and we don't come to the body of Christ, allow me to use that phrase, with our own ideas. We come inside, and then we become students. So that will mean we learn. Because when we look at the word mathetes, where you have Matthew, I've given that explanation. It means to learn, from the word mantano, to learn by meditation, by thinking, by observation. And so we, always when we say this at this point, you know, the background of Jesus saying, teach all nations, is the Old Testament. And if you observe the last few years, we've been studying to the intent that we can handle the Old Testament with the intelligence of Christ, or we call it the intelligence of the epistles. Now in Romans 15, Paul, writing Romans, for whatever things were spoken, were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Whatever was written afore, the word prographo, referring to the Old Testament writing, was written for our teaching. That we're learning there brings in teaching. In other words, the things that we're reading can be explained from God's Word. We can explain them. Old Testament narratives, we can explain them. And he says, the patience and comfort of the scriptures, of course, the patience of God, right, in the scriptures. Just the same way Peter says that we know that the long suffering of our God is salvation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And so we're saying here that the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we may have hope. In 1 Corinthians and chapter 10, and Paul also gives this admonition after relating the Exodus story, then he says in verse 11. In fact, verse 6 says, now these things were our examples to the intent we should lust after evil things also, or as they also lusted. Then in verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. That's the Old Testament.
In other words, he brings in stories. He says, when we read those stories, they are for our admonition. Admonition means to put yourself in check and to put yourself in caution. And so we read them, the narratives, and then we put ourselves in check. Romans 15 says, for our learning. Our learning. Now, look at an example that I want you to see something. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And then I want to start from verse 6. For the thought are they which creep into houses and lead captive sin women, leading with things, led away with divers lost. I want us to read verse 7 and 8 together. They were ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all, as theirs also was. So he uses an Old Testament resistance of Moses to relate the resistance to the truth. I just pointed that for reference. We might get into it later. But the tricky thing is, we can look at those narratives and then learn from them. Learn from them. And I believe that this series is to put all of us in sanctified thinking. We're going to examine a lot of things together. I remember Martin Luther once said, I teach my people justification by faith. So because every week they forget it. And a lot of us have the tendency of forgetting the basics. You know, you can forget the basics. Particularly in the world where we live, where, you know, people change. They have new desires. People change where they live. They change what they wore or wear. They change their fancies. And somehow, you can suddenly change what you believe. But obviously, because you just feel, well, I can't believe the same thing for that long and not change. So, it's good to bring to our remembrance some of these truths. Very simple, but they're basics. I've told you before, you don't outgrow the basics. Very simple things. Notice that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, after Paul said that, the next thing he says in verse 10, let's take verse 10 together. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, man of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse 12. Alright, we suffer persecution. Go to 14 quickly. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and have been assured of, knowing of whom. He's not saying continue in salvation. In the things that you have learned, continue in it. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where we are still going to come back to strongly, but let's just see something Paul says. He says, continue. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, Paul, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. Let every man take heed how he builds upon. Let him take heed how he builds upon. And so, that means there is a faithfulness that is required of a minister or a Christian to a Christian faith. There is a faith in Christ, and there is a faithfulness to Christ. Yeah, that is your sticking with the truth. I mentioned a bit of that on Sunday as well. Sticking with the truth. Now, in this instance, we want to look at things in the church meetings, in what we can call the worship of believers. And I want to pick a lesson I learned from Kenneth Hagin. That's where the inspiration of this teaching is coming from. In 2 Chronicles chapter 12, I remember having to listen to a teaching by Brother Hagin. The first time I listened to this teaching was 1991. And I didn't really get a hold of what he was saying. But I recall that in 1995, the same person who gave me that tape and the magazine now gave me another tape. Now, by 1995, I was not born again. You know what I mean? I was not a serious Christian in the sense of I was in the ministry. So I paid attention. I remember something a friend said back then. He said, one of the ways that you know that you are in the ministry is when you pay more attention to details. I won't forget that. He said, now you listen. You are more cautious. Now he said, one of the reasons you know as well that you are getting lethargic is when you are no longer particular about the details. So I now began to listen. I remember that day, I was in the Youth Foundation Center, and I listened to that teaching, just one tape. And I began to shed tears. Well, I was younger in ministry, but I got the book where the tape was put in the book, and I read. And I call having to ask, you know, whether one could stick to God's plan for the rest of his life. Because that's something we all should ask. You know, that depends on you, really, whether you can stick to the plan of God, you know, for the rest of your life. So then this scripture came, and very subtle or very almost unnoticed story in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Now, Solomon had built a temple. And in the temple that he built it with gold and precious stones. And so there is a man by the name of Rehoboam, who was a king. And then verse 9, let's follow this. Says, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. Now, the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house were made of gold. Then he says, he carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. That is, they plundered it just like war and took it away. Then verse 10 now says, he
instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. What he simply did was to substitute the brass for the gold. Now, Solomon deliberately used gold to show value and so on and so forth. And then the gold was carried away and the guy just decided to use brass. Now he looks unnoticed. Now he just quickly replaced it, let it just work. But brass is not gold. Brass can look like gold, can appear like gold, but brass is not gold. Now, what's the significance of this is what we're studying for some weeks to come. And that is the caution of making substitutes. A caution of using counterfeits. It looks like it. It's close to it. That is, was this what was in the original house? No. But do they look alike? Yes. Now, Jesus gives a warning as well in the parables that he gave. And you observe, if you look at scripture well, you will always find either you find a counterfeit Jew, you find, pay attention, idols, you find false disciples of Christ who do exactly what everybody is doing. You find what Paul will call false brethren. You find false apostles. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 11, he says they will transform themselves as the apostles of Christ. In other words, we will always have the tendency or the temptation of having substitutes. Now, in Matthew 13, Jesus gives a parable after the parable of the sower. And then he says in verse 24, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. And verse 25, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When the blade was filled up and brought for food, then appeared the tares also. Now, the word tares in the Greek is a Greek word that implies, I told you what it is, zazal. It will look exactly like wheat. In fact, by study, it's only in the taste that you will find out. In other words, Jesus gives an example here of that which is sown among the good seed. In other words, if you are careful, you replace the wheat with the tares, and they look alike. And so, the question we should ask is this: does God instruct, or did God instruct, or did Jesus instruct how the worship of God, in this instance, the church meetings and the ministry of the church, did he give instructions on how they should be carried out? Can we sit down and reform the church? Can we decide what to do? Those are questions that should appear in our minds. In Psalm 127 verse 1, the psalmist says, except the Lord builds the house. And I want you to pay attention to that particular psalm, because it's the same word used for building the church or building the believer. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. You know, this didn't say they will never build the house. It just says they labor in vain, which is equal to say they will build, but it's vain. But he uses a phrase that is used for the church. Except the Lord builds the house. Paul will write in Ephesians 2:20, we're built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. We just read 1 Corinthians 3 and 10. Let each man take heed how he builds thereon. So there's a building that goes on in the church and in the body of Christ. So the question is, how close or far are we to God's plan for his church? Now I'm going to just drive into that quickly. Don't forget, you can have brass. And brass is, you know, anything that is counterfeit will look like what is original. You can have brass and it's not gold. And oftentimes what will determine brass and gold is the duration. It could shine alike, but if you are a Nigerian, you must have seen a lot of brass around, passed off as gold. And so, we'll look at our worship. And on Sunday, I picked up one aspect, just one of them amongst many, and we looked at singing and praising. I believe by tomorrow the teaching will be out. Singing and praising. Now, don't forget how I started. You can come to the church or the body of Christ and bring in your ideas. And on Sunday we looked at praising. And I believe we're able to check the praise of the church, right, throughout the New Testament. And we said, okay, what kind of praise? Because you can assume that praise, for example, you can assume you know how to pray. Because before you got born again, you used to pray in your family. Same thing, you can assume you know how to praise. And you think that praise is how I feel. And I showed you on Sunday, that's not true. That's not true. How should we conduct ourselves in the church meetings? How do we conduct ourselves in the church? So I'm going to pick some vital things, vital aspects of worship. I'm just going to repeat some things I said on Sunday. We looked at worship, praise. And we said, who is praise for? Who is it about? It's not about me. So it differs from entertainment. In other words, it's not about how I feel. It's not about how I enjoy. How was the worship? I enjoyed that praise worship. How do you enjoy the praise worship? Now, you can say, I enjoyed the teaching because you were the one that was taught. But to enjoy praise that doesn't go to you will mean, excuse me, what did you just do? So, that really is, it looks very sublime. It looks unnoticed, but The moment praising or the praise of God becomes something that it's asked to reflect on your feelings, then you are mixing entertainment with praise. In entertainment, I must feel good. I must feel the vibe of the music. Now don't be quiet on me, because I use the personal pronoun. We must feel good. Is that better? You must feel good. If I watch football, I must feel good. Well, some of you don't have to feel good because of what you support. I didn't say who you support, I said what you support. I must feel good. But it's not the same as praise. It's not the same as praise. You know, I was, this is by the way, but I just have to say. There, brother, and of course I don't usually say this, but I just have to point it out. He wrote on the social media, he said, a good teacher of the word of God should be comfortable when his students are not repeating what he's saying verbatim. As long as they have taught the word, he can say it now. He said the work of faith. And I took him up and said, what are you really saying? He said, well, people should be able to say things in their own words and all that. And I asked the question. I said, young man, I said, can the scriptures, I said, can a teaching be recited and read out? It will bless people. He went on and on. Said, yes, it can. I said, very fine. If a teaching is, a sermon is read out, will it bless the hearers? He said, yes. Oh. How do you think Paul's letters were handled? When they read? Were you supposed to read Paul's letters in your own words? He said, no. So what did you just write? I said, preaching is not performance. Let me be unique. You are mixing things up. I said, no. It's not performance. It's not like, I must show them that I also know. You are mixing something up. You are mixing public speaking, which is where you depend on oratory, and you look at how to wow the crowd. You know, an excellent speaker doesn't necessarily mean a teacher of the word of God. You can be an excellent speaker, and you know how to. I remember I had this friend who was very close before he passed on to me the Lord. He was the deputy head of school of my of the set ahead of me. A deputy head of school is like what you call him, the lower school's head boy. I got that right, right? He did the right place. Very good. So he was so able to convince any crowd. One time we had this inter-school, you know, the best school, inter-school fight. And so the other school was threatening, when we get those government college boys, we beat them up and all that. And they were doing all the threatening, and they were really furious. And you know, of course, we had so many snide remarks we passed on them. He went there, and he stood on the assembly ground. And when he was talking, he was clapping. I know him. And he saw him off. Because it's the way he talks. Now, that's not necessarily preaching. In preaching, sometimes the fruit of good preaching is failing. I'm saying sometimes the sign of good preaching is that they chased you out. But that doesn't flow. You say, what happened? There's something wrong. Why would they chase you out? Go and pray. You know, you are substituting grass for gold. You are putting, this is not today's subject, we're going to get to this one later. You are putting good speaking with saying what is good. They are two different things. Like I said to us, I want you to look at a couple of things, and we're going to practice them together. Right? I want you to understand what I'm saying in practice. You can substitute them, just like worship. Just like what we call worship, of course. Worship is colloquial. We call worship singing. Well, that's for us, but some will say praise is fast, worship is slow. Blues, worship. Rap, praise. I tell you, I used to be a praise worship leader, so I know where you first get to. Brethren, let us begin to worship as we enter into His presence. I say, Holy Spirit, Holy. I will sing slow, one slow song. And I say, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Are you ready to praise the Lord now? Of course, I didn't go to the extreme. In those days, our old praise. In fact, the worst we used to dance was like this. So it's not like this. No way. I remember one Deeper Life conference, 1992. Yeah. So the keyboard mistakenly, the keys just flipped to the where they play drums. You'll be so surprised. I don't think like this, oh my God. I use it the wrong thing only, you know. But I couldn't say it publicly. So, you know, so it's a praise, then it's a worship. Yeah, let's begin to worship God now. That's when the minister will now take the microphone. Because you went from the spirit to yourself, then back to the spirit. Something like that. But then, the thing is, we must be cautious to note how is the praise of God carried out. And then we picked something out on Sunday. I don't want to repeat everything about Sunday, but we picked two things that are not taught as part of praise. We said one of them is clapping. That clapping is neither praise nor worship. And we said that the New Testament is not silent about clapping. Silence is even a good word. It doesn't mention it at all. I would say the Old Testament mentions clapping a couple of times. And we looked at the references just for the sake of this service. I could just mention them. We said Nahum 3:19, Lamentations 2:5, 2 Kings 11:12, Job 34:37, Job 27:23. All we read in those texts was clapping was used to mock. It's used to mock or a sign of defeat. It was never praise. Where it's used for trees, for example, Isaiah 55, verse 12, and Psalm 98, and verse 8. They were figurative. And then Ezekiel 25, verse 6, it follows the same pattern of being mockery. So clapping is not praise. Neither is it in the worship of God. Now the one we saw was now Psalm 47, verse 1. Clap your hands, O ye people. Shout to the Lord with one sound. I remember years ago, that was the only scripture that I didn't understand. I felt, and of course, initially I used to say that, well, that's the only reference we have. We can't build on one scripture. But I was so disturbed. I felt, if it's worship, it's worship. If it's not, it's not. Then that day, I was led to go and pick up the Darby's translation, where I now saw the center reference of the word peoples. That the word peoples were the same people who repeated in the verses afterwards. Those are the enemies or opponents of Israel. So when it says, clap your hands, O ye people, it wasn't praise. Rather, it was mockery. It's the same way you will say, let the weak say, I am strong. Joel 3:10. It's not praise. It's actually sarcasm. So no doubt, clapping is not praise and worship. It wasn't part of it. Now we ask the question on Sunday, well, could it be used to keep up beats? Yes. Where you need to put beats. Right? But then, we now ask another question. The New Testament, Ephesians 5:18 says, singing and making melody where? In your heart. So the excuse of using as a beat, as beat, is very weak. In the New Testament, readily tells you, singing and making melody in your heart. I taught all that on Sunday. So it becomes, well, just like the keyboard, maybe our hands can do what the keyboard does and the drums. But then, do we have instructions for our hands? Yes. Lift up holy hands. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 8. So if I have that, that means if I'm giving instructions about my hands already, then rather than clap, I have to what? Raise my hands. Which, if you read the Old Testament, it's the same thing. Raise your hands. Now, I remember I was with Brother Hagin this morning, and he said something in 1987 when he taught this. As he got on the pulpit, he said, as I speak right now, I'm literally shivering. It's not fear of you, but fear of what I want to say. Because talking about things like this can make enemies for you. What do you mean? This is religion. You know, people say this kind of nonsense. But the truth is, you see, no matter how you feel, it doesn't change the word of God. Feel bad, feel good, feel middle, changes nothing. And so, therefore, there is a wrong use of hands in Christian worship. Now, I can clap for you. Same way I can prostrate. Same way I can, you know, that's cultural. Where we say, give yourself a round of applause. I learned that from school. Right? But I can't use that in the worship of God. That's the difference. I can't use that in the worship of God. So I said all that on Sunday. And then we went into, pay attention, also, what about clapping for people because they taught the word? And you were taught God's word, and you got blessed. Then you applaud him. For what? For the ministry of the word? That's irreverence. You don't applaud a man for the word of God. It's not a show. It's not a show. The music department or the music team or the choir, as we call it, they come up and they sing the song and you got blessed. Or you were impacted by the song. Why did you clap? I was appreciating them. No. The song wasn't about them. The song was about Jesus. So we can't bring in the world's things in the church. That's substituting brass for gold. Well, it looks like I'm appreciating God. It looks like I'm appreciating the brethren. No. When they sing a song, sometimes we even go after a minister is ministering by, I'm going to get to all of that bit by bit, is ministering by the Spirit. Then he gives a word of knowledge. And then they say there's someone there, and he mentions the name. And the person comes and says, hey, what is wrong with you? Or hands are laid on someone, and he falls over the power of it. No, that's the world. That's the world. What is the meaning of clapping when someone get healed, or when someone falls flat under the power of God, or someone receives the word of knowledge? What's the clap for? We can clap for first timers, like we do. So I don't think we are bad hosts. Just like the song we sing, we are one big happy family. I don't expect you to close your eyes and say, we are one. It's just a song. Right? We are so scared. That's not a praise to God. That's enjoy yourself. So it's a welcome song. The song and arise, O compatriot, they are the same. Nigeria's call obey. But the second one is better. I watch my treasures grow. Yep. That is to remind you of the word of God. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm just going to very basic things. So you think. Right? I remember Brother Higgins said that the things of the Spirit will be lost in a generation if they are not taught. That's what I'm doing. We'll get to the basics later. We'll just take it gradually. So, clapping is not praise. That's just simple. It's not even an attitude of praise. How can I praise? I lift my hands. Praise the Lord. What else? I bow my knees. To the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus bowed his knees. He bowed his knees to pray. Garden of Gethsemane. Paul bowed his knees to pray. His brother bowed his knees to pray. In the Old Testament, when he dedicated the temple, Solomon stretched forth his hands. That's what he did. He stretched forth their hands. They bowed their knees. Jesus did the same. That is a proskuneo attitude of obeisance. Proskuneo. And you hear me very well. You don't outgrow this. Did you hear what I just said? You don't outgrow it. You don't outgrow it. Praise the Lord. You don't outgrow it. Glory to God. You don't outgrow it. And you don't try to please man. I'm quite I'm softer these days. Back then I go to any place. When I was in university, I'd attend a meeting or any meetings, and they'd jump in and do whatever he would go kangaroo steps. I just do like this. And pray in tongues. If you don't like it, too bad. Someone asked me one time, why don't you move when we're praising God? I said, were you praising God or enjoying yourself? So what do you mean? How did you know I was not moving? She focused on God. You want to use me to move? I said, no, sorry. And it's hard to feel like exactly what he said you are, that's what you are. The guy comes and says, ordinary praise worship. They'll be opening scripture. Greek word. Praise worship. The guy said, can you imagine? Because my last praise our God again. Anything you see, they say, is it the word? Is it the word? We're talking about this. In the 90s. Say, even if you say, hallelujah, they say, hallelujah, is that the word? In my presence. They have not changed. Praise the Lord. Praise the God. Because we are just being sentimental. But is it the word? Hallelujah. In our church, we are going to be full of the Spirit for years and years. We are not going to lose our edge. Amen. We are not going to grow so much and we lose our edge. No. We are going to stay on the very brink of the things of the Spirit. Praise God. We are going to have been very hot. Glory, glory, glory. No. We are not going to leave to the world. Hallelujah. We are going to stay right there in the flow of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Alright. It's not praise, it's not worship. Clapping is in praise, it's not worship. What about dancing? I showed you what dancing was in the Greek on Sunday. It's used in the world. Where you be moving your body according to musical equipment. Actually, the Greek word, I think it's the Greek word chorus or something. Chorus. It means to go round dancing. Round dancing. Where you are shaking your body. shaking and shaking and shaking and shaking.
It's not a sin.
Just like clapping is not a sin. But it's not in the praise of God. That's what you shouldn't forget. It's not in the praise of God. And so you find people come into church services learning from the world. From the world. I remember years ago, learning from the world, what am I talking about? Learning from the world, and then they bring in Yahuze. What do you say? Shaku shaku. What's wrong in shaku shaku? It is what you do when you have parties. But the worship of God, where we have the praise of God, doesn't reflect the world to us. That's what you should understand. That's what you should understand. So I said, well, I remember God said, well, people clapped in one service like that, and the power of God came down. From where? So there was a service, people clapped and did this one, and people were healed. I laugh when I hear these things. I went for a service in 1997 in the CAC church. And they brought water for me to pray into. Kegs and buckets. If I went for many, but this particular one, and I prayed over it, and the miracles we saw that evening were out of the world. In fact, when I was done with that service, the daughter of the founder of the church, or the, what you call him, the general overseer, had to tell the dad about me because I fell into water. The first miracle I saw, a blind eye open, was at Osemeri. It was by anointing with oil. So please shut up. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what the word says. That's what you should talk about. What the word says. It's not what you saw. What the word says. If today, you understand, you do something, and because you got a result out of it, you think it's what God wants, then you're wrong. Then you're wrong. So, we mentioned all of that on Sunday. We'll get the paper out of it and we'll learn. So, clapping, we should know how to use clapping in the services. When the move of the Spirit is on, okay, or a sick person is healed, or the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, you don't clap. You honor God, or you pray, or you keep quiet. One of the three will be godly. When someone sings a song, and even if you watch it on YouTube, you don't clap. He's singing for you to sing. She's singing for you to sing. That's why I stopped choir and the music team coming to sing for us in the church. I said, no. You are not entertaining us. Put the songs on the screen. You never see scriptures on our screen. Put the songs on the screen. Let the church sing together. That's what you are like someone leading prayer. So we pray together. That's what it is. Not that we can save me for call with me now, I want to call. Roll across. Heavenly anointed voices. The living word music team. You like that name, right? Gang, gang, gang. The dim the light. Shh. The Nazar. Jesus. You know what happens here? Know that the world has ended. That what you are seeing is a divinely granted appearance. Hallelujah. We sing. We raise our hands. We rejoice. We bow our knees. Amen. Together. That's why when a song is being sung and they say, "For the cross I bow my knees," it's an instruction, right? You bow your knees, except you know where your knees are. We lift our hands. What do? You raise your hands. Praise the Lord. Very good. Get to that. So, clapping is not praise. And don't get so, if you're uncomfortable in a service, because it will allow you to shake it down. A brother came to me when I pastored in Ibadan, 1998. He said, "Sir, I enjoy the teaching. If I love the worship, Springfield. But sir, there's an aspect we are not exploring in this church." I said, "What's this?" "We are not doing the praise." He has not been there for more than 2 weeks. Maybe in the praise. I said, I want to take off my shirt and sweat and praise my God. I said, "Not here." And I asked him the question. On Friday, what did I teach? So, then I want to remove your dress. You want to remove your dress, please? No. We must. I just feel, someone will go to church and he will carry tambourine. Someone will carry shekere. Look at tomorrow now. Some people organize Valentine Christian party. When are you going to do a demo? Yeah, a demo is also a party. I'm from Jebu. And it's something we respect. Should I sing the song for you? You understand? These people, Halloween, in the church, Halloween. Brethren, this is Christ Church. Because they say you are joint head. The Bible never says joint head. I said, can't you just, the Jesus bury? Maybe you don't even love Jesus. You don't like him like that. What kind of Jesus is this? No. We mustn't bring in brass. There is, wait for this. There is a kind of supernatural excitement that we have. And you cannot see it in the world. It might look alike, but it's not the same thing. It's not in the world. There's our own praise. Hallelujah. And it's not in the world. Realize that. If the world wants to make a service lively, they'll bring in a comedian. They'll do the lights. They will dim the lights. They will... The world can do that. Yeah. Let's make the place lively. But not the church. We have the gifts of the Spirit. Are you there? The demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. You see, the more we gravitate towards how the world does things, we lose reverence for the things of the Spirit. That's why a comedian can come to church and joke about casting out of demons. And we all don't frown. You know, some things you should say, and everybody looks at you like this. You say, I'm sorry. But we laugh with them. Why? Is it wrong to laugh in the church? No. Is it wrong to have joy in the service?
No.
But what kind of joy?
Hallelujah.
Joy for what? I told you on Sunday. For example, there are songs you can sing in the service that you can sing elsewhere. I mean, in the mosque. There are songs you can sing. Very flat, neutral songs. Talking about a God we all believe. But there are songs where Jesus is mentioned. The cross, the blood, the life, the spirit, the sufferings. Some people will have to keep quiet. So there are things that are unto God. Because they are in His Son. We don't. The world cannot teach us how to praise God. Get that right. Not the world. The world doesn't know the worship of God. And so can't know the praise of God. And so we must have the awe in our hearts. If you're a worship leader, a praise worship leader, whatever we call you, when you are coming before the children of God, you must live by the Spirit of God. You must be filled with the Spirit. Paul says, be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, in Psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. As a younger Christian, when I joined the school choir in my secondary school, we asked, make noise. But I discovered something when I joined the music department. In that same, we had to sing a song at the end of the year. We took a fast and we prayed. Something we never did when I was in the school choir. From that point, I knew there was a difference. We took a fast and we began to pray. That's a difference. The world will look at the vocals. We look at how to connect with the crowd. What to do to move the crowd. The church doesn't do that. It looks only on Jesus. Does it praise Him? Does it exalt Him? Does it point Jesus to those who are singing? They are not the same. Brass is not gold. So when you get into a service, know that the praise of God is not about you. Not about you. It's about Jesus. So you are particular about what you are saying and then what you are doing. If the light goes off, if the sound goes off, if the keyboard isn't working and affects your praise, then the praise wasn't about Him. Because this stuff, they don't praise God. What praises God, or who praises God, is you. At best, this equipment, musical instrument, are for our senses. God has made His children. He has designed our hearts to make melody to Him. And you know we can. We are instruments of His praise. We are the house of His glory. Hallelujah. I love the song by Jimmy Peterson. And with our hands lifted high, we will worship and sing and with us. When the world wonders why, we'll just tell them we love being our King. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We'll just tell them we love. when the world wonders why.
What are you talking about? What are you doing? It's in the saints.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Why would an unbeliever come in 1 Corinthians 14 and Paul will say he will fall down on his face, pay attention, and worship God? That means he saw that was how God was worshipped. So he saw us do it. But he didn't say he will jump up and shake his bum bum. No. He will fall down on his face and worship God and report that God is in you of the truth. That's what he will do. That means falling down on his face and worshiping God was a practice of the church. Let's bring God the African way. No. Let's bring God the Yoruba way. No. Wait for Yoruba festivals. Don't do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul, referring to the doctrine of the church, well read in verse 10. He says, let it man take it how he builds upon, thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. You can't build all these on Christ. You can only build Christ on Christ. For every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abides, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now he's talking to a minister of the gospel. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Then he throws the building question. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any one or anything, better still not man, defile the temple of God, it's not him, I'll explain that to you, shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which you are. So you can't be destroyed. You get the point. He's talking about those things that are not part of the body of Christ. They will be taken away. So when we come into the services, the meeting is about Jesus. It's his house. It's his church. The doctrine has to be about Jesus. And the praise has to be about Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You don't come to church to practice your latest dance steps. That's irreverence. That's irreverence. And I told you on Sunday that your songs and the sermon should be the same. Remember that? They should be the same. The songs should be a reflection of the doctrine. They should be. So we should review that and look at our mode of worship. If the Old Testament changes in the sense of the way God is approached, and you know they focus a lot on physical things. The Old Testament, they will use the bars, the timbre and harp and all of that. Physical temple and all of that. You know, they will use the instruments. In the New Covenant, the instrument of worship is the born-again man. He has to realize that. So David dances before the Lord with all his might before the ark.
That's not the reflection of the New Testament worship, because the ark is now in the saints. So it's like, David, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon my life, I will dance like David. Did you ever read when the Spirit of God was upon him when he did it? That's not true. David simply danced with all his might. That's what David did. You see, you want to dance all of my... I said, no, I told you all that. You can do, you can jog, sing, be happy, do all that. That's not the worship of God. No, it's not. So we must de-emphasize using physical things as instruments of worship. Like I mentioned, if we use the equipment, the song, to play music, it doesn't do as much good or better good by my bad grammar, like the microphone I'm using. That's all they're doing. Just amplifying a sound. But the true worship of God is in the words that I use from my heart and then in my actions afterwards. Don't forget all that. Very simple. So, let's be reverent with our hearts. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. He says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up, he says in verse 8, holy hands, without wrath and doubt, lifting up holy hands. That's what we're told to do. We're told to bow our knees. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees, that's both literal and physical. Showed you that earlier on. Matthew 26. Jesus is praying in verse 39. Then the Bible says that he fell on his face and prayed. He fell. And then he prayed. In Luke's account, Luke 22, verse 41. He knelt down and prayed. Luke 22:41. He knelt down and prayed. Acts 20. Paul, verse 36. He knelt down and prayed with them. You also see Stephen did the same thing, Acts 7:60. So kneeling down, raising your hands, falling down on your face. That's not how the world sees things. But that's the world. When the world wonders why, we just tell them that we love in our King. Amen. Hallelujah. It's his house. And I'm also his house. Yeah, I'm his house. Whose house we are. We are his house. And so, our worship of God, or our praise of God, must reflect that worship that we have of him. Raise our hands. We also need to learn to also sing a lot in the Spirit. We'll pick on that next week, or next time we'll take it on. We also need to sing in the Spirit. Oh Lord. You know, earlier today, I heard the Lord say, we need to sing in the Spirit more in this church. So we'll go do that. Sing in the Spirit more. Sing in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. Sing in tongues more. Sing in tongues more. Amen. We have more things to see by the Spirit of God. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. If we get things in order and put them in the right place, we'll see more of the move of the Spirit. You know, you can get stereotyped in the move of the Spirit. But there are more things by the Spirit. Paul says, let all things be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14 and 40. If we do things the way it ought to be done, we have more of the things of the Spirit in our midst. Brother Hagin said, if you quit clapping and start praising, you see more of the glory of God in our midst. Now I can tell you for free, hear me well. I know people who have stayed vibrant in the things of the Spirit.
I know them.
To the glory of God. I believe I'm trying. For as many years as possible. I can tell you something. Listen carefully. When it comes to praise, alright, they ensure they praise God in a New Testament way. It always puts a church, right, at a ready position in the things of the Spirit. I've observed it. I know it. I know it from the Word. And I also know it from practice. You see, entertainment will rob you of much of the things of the Spirit you can see. So tell me, we see the things of the Spirit and we do this, but you can do more. You can actually see more. You quit clapping and start praising. And lift your hands the more. Sing in the Spirit the more. Observe some more reverence the more. You see more. More. And also in your private life, the same thing. See, there's something about the world and looseness and lightness. The spirit of entertainment is the spirit of looseness and lightness. And much of that, listen carefully, much of that, see, when we bring the things of the world into the church, comedy, the way we do our stage, the way we, everything will just become plastic. But when we allow the moving of the Holy Ghost, right from the way we pray, from the way we praise, who see the things of the Spirit in more demonstration. I'm saying this by experience. From the Word and also from practice. So we mustn't substitute brass for gold. It can look appealing. Oh, you know, some guys can even come to you as a pastor, new member. Sir, I'm just thinking, our praise worship and all that, and all that. Someone told me one time, you know, he said, you know, he is a pastor. He just church, 3 years ago, I think. Just joined us then, 3 years ago, I think so. So he said, well, I'm thinking, I said, you know what? That's the way we praise God. Hallelujah. Not going to change. Not going to change. Because that's what's in the Word. We do the Word. It's not about how we feel. It's about what the Word says. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So we can't take out the gold and put the brass. I want the gold. All the time I want the gold. Hallelujah. I want the gold all the time. All the time. See the moving of the Spirit. See the leading of the Spirit. See the growing of the Word. Hallelujah. See the influence of the Spirit. If you're a pastor, don't yield to the world. Don't allow the influence of other churches who don't have as much light as you do in this instance. So maybe that's just what they know. But you come in contact with the Word of God. Practice praise the New Testament way. Step with the New Testament. And you will see New Testament things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the world doesn't teach us worship. The world therefore can't teach us praise. Hallelujah. Okay, sir. So, you know, like the story we gave about the gold and the brass. Brass will look like gold. It looks like gold, but it's not. It's not. It's not. Gold is what God wants. The praise that God wants. Don't clap when someone is healed. Don't clap when the miracle happens. If a miracle happens, say glory to God. You can rejoice in the Spirit. You can fall down on your face. You can speak words. But don't applaud the minister. It's irreverence. Don't applaud the minister. The minister is not a performer. He's a servant of God. He's a servant of God. Don't applaud the minister. Just lift your hands. If you hear the word and you're so blessed in the service, it's the same thing. Just lift those hands. And bless the Lord. Just say glory to God. Don't clap for the pastor because he delivered. No. Just
speak to him. Thank you, Father.
You hear the truth of God's word, you're so listening. Glory! Thank you, Jesus.
Woo!
Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's not entertainment. It's not soapbox. Amen. It's a ministry of the Spirit. And when we receive it, receive it good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just praise God, son. Just praise God, son. Bless his name.